May be seated. The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 16. We'll start the reading at verse 17. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Pray with me. Our God, help us now as we come to your word. God, give us ears to hear. Give us clear understanding to apply your word. Father, that you would be glorified in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, this summer, my sons and I, we planned to go on a trip to the Rocky Mountains, and we were going to be hiking through the mountains some 7 miles as we went. As I talked to my friend, he said, "You're going to need a map." And he took me to this place in town, and it was the business of this place to produce maps for wherever you needed them. We went, and he went through his computer, and my friend looked, and they carefully studied, and they printed out this great big topographical map with all the landmarks that I would need, and even the trail that we would be taking that went along. And when we had that map, we took it, and we had our compass, and we oriented our map, and we looked to carefully see that we were going in the right direction in the Rocky Mountains. Now I ask you, if you had been giving something else or something lesser, someone had handed you a paper with a crayon drawing with an X and a dotted line, would you trust it? Would this be the way that you should go? After we had arrived in the Rockies and the following day as we left our base camp and we started going up, Nathaniel was, his legs were longer and he had more endurance as he was trucking along, and he kept getting further and further and further ahead. And at one point I realized, I can't see my boy anymore. So I shouted for him, "Nathaniel, wait for us! Come here, Nathaniel!" And as I waited and he didn't show up, Amos and I, we went a little further and we came around the ridge and we looked, and I saw Nathaniel going off in the wrong direction. The way my voice went, it echoed off another rock face, and he was leaving. And I said to myself, I just almost lost my son in the Rocky Mountains. At that point, we weren't following the printed map. At that point, we really weren't sure. We weren't positive where we were going in that moment. We were just going the way that seemed right. There was another experience that I had. I took a group cave exploring, and there was this place that you could go, and if you signed off that you knew what you were doing or you were a professional, you could just go into these caves, into these caverns, miles and miles of tunnel. And at that time, I was a heathen, and I was confident that I could not be destroyed, and anyone in my presence was safe. So I signed a little thing, and we traveled down into the earth, and we would go, and different places were very strange. There would be tunnels this big that you would be crawling with your arms stretched out and pulling yourself with your fingertips and pushing along with your toes. You couldn't raise your head. You couldn't bring your elbows to the side. Sometimes there was water, and you would do that with water covering your mouth, just breathing through your nose as you traveled. Well, we went, and we traveled, and we're working, and I looked back, and one of my friends was gone. So I told all my friends, "Stay here while I go find Tim." And I went and I found Tim and I came back and another one of my friends was gone. And I asked, "Where did Topper go?" They said, "He's gone down that hole." And I asked, "Why has Topper gone down the hole?" And they said, "Someone told him that was the way out." I said, "But that's not the way out." To whom was he listening? As we look at the scripture here, we're being given the idea and we're being given the truth that there are people to whom we listen and there are people to whom we do not listen. So as we think about these things, the call for you this morning is to carefully judge what you are taught. Carefully judge what you are taught. And carefully judge what you teach. Our first step, number one, is listen up. Listen up. Paul says it in this way. I urge you. This is that word that we saw earlier. Parakaleo. He's coming alongside. He's grabbing you and saying, this is the way that we go. You listen to me now. Now how important is this? How important is this? When I came to faith and people looked at me and I was able to stand up in front of a crowd, people started grabbing me and saying, you, come to my church and preach. Without any training, without any tests to see what I was like. And I was excited and I said, okay. And I went. And you know, in the Ohio Valley, there were 15 churches that saw a young man who could stand up and talk enthusiastically. And they said, you, come to my church and preach. And to all of them, I said, okay. Well, later, down the road, as I got involved with a Presbyterian organization, someone else grabbed me and he said, do you know that when you preach, you're messing with people's lives? Do you think it's okay for you to instruct families, husbands, wives, and children in the deep things of God without having been tested? He said, if you want to preach, you have to go to seminary. I was shocked by the idea. What do you mean? I can't just get up anywhere and say whatever I want? Anyone who wants to listen to me, they don't have the right to listen to me, or they shouldn't? The truth is no. See, I got up and I was confident that I was rightly dividing the word of truth, but I had no training. I had no understanding, and I wonder how many lives I mess with. And I wonder, how many times has a word been brought to you and you just eagerly drank it? You just took it in and you accepted it. You see, this is a problem. This is a problem, and we understand that this is a problem. And here's one of the main reasons. It's the depravity of man, and this is our second step. Don't forget man's depravity. What does it mean to be depraved? Well, you might get a really ugly image in your head. If someone were totally depraved, you might see somebody in their clothes dirty and hanging off, and them running around snarling and kicking dogs. They're horrible. They're depraved. They're so messed up, and you would see it, and you would know that they were totally depraved when you saw them. Well, Scripture teaches us a little bit of a different picture. In Psalm 143:2, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. Isaiah 53, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has called, and then we move to the idea of Christ, the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Romans 3:10-18. But as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their hearts. The path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's the picture of someone who's totally depraved. If we were in a different kind of church right now, I would say, turn to your neighbor. And you would turn to your neighbor. And I would say, and repeat after me. And you would repeat after me. And I would say, now tell your neighbor, you are totally depraved. That's not the way they do it in those churches, though. It's something much more fun than happy, you would say to your neighbor. The truth is, each of us now could turn to our neighbor and rightly say and judge, you are totally depraved. Now, what picture does that conjure up for you? Is it the person in tattered clothing snarling and kicking dogs? Or is it someone whose heart will turn away from God? Is it someone who will seek their own pleasure? Is it someone who will seek their own glory rather than the glory of God? That's what we're talking about. And so the danger that we're dealing with as people are speaking is they will seek their own glory. They will seek their own course. They will look at the scripture. They will wrongly divide it. And even if they aren't doing it intentionally, they will do it because they see through marred eyes. Their ability to articulate or speak the truth is also weakened and marred. But there also are those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. So Paul, as he speaks to us on behalf of Christ, says, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions. And this is our next step, number 3. Scope them out. The word there for keep your eye on is scopeo. We can take our scope then. We can figure out what we're talking about there, can't we? Keep your eye on them or scope them out. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. Now, as you look at people and as you hear what they're saying, you are in the place to judge. You are in the place to judge. You are in the place to listen and to discern right from wrong. We are to be an educated congregation. We are to be a people where each one of us is in the Word of God, discerning what He says, directing us and teaching us in accordance with truth. I don't want you to just stand and swallow everything that I say and accept it. I would much rather you weigh it against what God has said. I was talking to a man who was in a congregation of which I was a part, and they left the church. And that was unacceptable where I had come from. He did not leave a church. He did not leave an assembly. It would be viewed as treason, is what it would be considered. Well, the man left the church, and when I asked him why he left, he said, well, I would listen to that guy preach. He said, and it would sound good, but then I would look at the scripture that he was supposedly preaching from, and it had nothing to do with what he was saying. You are expected, you are even called upon, you are even commanded to keep your eye on the one who's preaching. Especially if it looks like he's causing dissensions away from sound doctrine, as we are being told here is the standard. So you can listen to a man as he preaches. And you can ask the questions, and you should ask the questions. What is he trying to accomplish? What are his motives? What does he want to happen? Is he looking to push us closer to Scripture? Is he looking to push us closer to Christ? As we looked and as we saw in our reading earlier, those who were rebelling against Moses, what were they seeking? But their own glory. And they were weighed and they were measured. And they were found wanting. We look at Scripture and we see people, and we have to be quick to embrace the things that are good, or love the things that are good, or speak well about the things that are good. We will not just be those who slam others and tear them down. As an example, I point out to you those who were casting out demons in the name of Christ as Christ walked the earth. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, "These guys are casting out demons, and they're not hanging out with us. We told them to stop it." Jesus' response was, "Don't tell them to stop it. No one can in one moment speak good about me, and then on the other hand, the other side, blaspheme the things that I am saying." So we do look to the good of what is being spoken. If we come up next to someone who is a part of a denomination that is not ours, it's not for us necessarily in that moment to grab them by the collar and pound them to the ground with our doctrine. But there are things that we can embrace. You love Jesus? I love Jesus. You trust in grace alone for your salvation? Fantastic. So do I. And these are the things and the conversations that we can have. We look and we see the problems of the dividing, and we'll be looking at this more deeply. We see in Scripture people demanding circumcision, saying it was necessary in order to be saved. These people were told, they themselves should be cut off. So for whom do we watch? Our next step, number 4, is to watch out for true legalists. Watch out for true legalists. Now, legalist is something that's thrown around a lot, and it's a name and a tag that's put on Reformed Presbyterians. It's an accusation thrown against us a lot. We would look to Scripture and we would try to structure our worship according to Scripture. We would look at our week and try to structure our week according to Scripture. And people would look at us and have looked at me and they said, "Wait a minute, you keep the Sabbath?" You say, "Yes, I try anyway." And they would scoff and say, "Legalists. Legalists." One of my professors at the seminary, it was a wonderful moment for me. He described a situation where someone called him a legalist, and he asked, "Wait a second, what do you mean by that, a legalist? Do you mean that I look at the Scripture and see what it says, and then I try to do it? If that's what you mean, then I'm a legalist. If you want to use that definition, yes, I will be a legalist. I will be someone who looks at the Scripture, tries to understand what it means and its application for my life, and I'll do it. I'll do it. And if that's the legalist, then that's me." That's not true legalism. For a picture of true legalism, we'd look at Acts 15. "Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren." And here's what they were teaching. "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Now this is a perfect picture of true legalism. What they are saying is, in order for you to be saved, not just trusting in Christ, not repent and believe in Christ, which is what Scripture tells us is salvation, you have to do that, and in order to be saved, you also have to be circumcised, or you're going to hell. That's a true legalism. If you look at people and you're dealing with teachers who are saying, "Trust in Christ to go to heaven and do this, or you're going to hell." That's true legalism. These are the ones that we have to watch for. Paul answers them like this in Galatians 1, 6 through 10. "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." He is cut off. "He is to be accursed, as we said before. So I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. And Paul goes on to say regarding them in Galatians 5:12, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. That they would finish the job that they are starting. So who are we watching out for? We're looking out for those who add to Scripture, who set a standard for salvation apart from faith in Christ Jesus. Now we come to our next step, number 5. Watch out for true antinomians. Watch out for true antinomians. Our wonderful intern has introduced us to this word a little earlier. Nomian or nomos is the word for law. Anti is against the law. So as we're talking about watching out for antinomians, we're watching out for those who are against the law of God. We come back to the idea, looking at the word of God, seeking to obey it. We don't throw off the commandments because we are saved by grace. So an antinomian, and you will run into them. Maybe you have run into them. They are those people who say, I'm saved by grace, so now I can do whatever I want. I'm saved by grace, so I don't have to keep the Sabbath. I'm saved by grace, so I can run around. I can be immoral. I'm saved by grace. I can say and do whatever I want. Romans 6:15 deals with this idea. Paul says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And this is a shout then, the strongest possible shout that he can put the pen to paper. May it never be. Or it shall never be. It shall never be. So those who will stand and give us a salvation apart from trusting in Christ, or those who say, no, the law is of no effect now, or no, we don't live by the law, or we don't look at what God says and try to follow it, these are the teachers that we watch out for. Now, what are they like? Well, number 6 gives our sixth step gives us a description of them. It's an appetite for popularity. An appetite for popularity. That means they really want people to like them. That's their thing. It's above truth. It's above grace. It's above the Word of God. Romans 16:18 describes them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Can you see these people? Do you see these people? Aren't they out there proclaiming things like, your best life now? Do this, trust Christ, and be rich. Think positive, happy thoughts. You will be positive, happy, and happy, and you will get everything that you want. 2 Timothy 4:3 says this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Stadiums are filled by this. Stadiums are filled. I was talking to another pastor friend of mine, and he was describing his struggles. And this is a man who labors hard in the Word. He labors hard in the Word. And he brings it to his congregation with as much faithfulness as the Lord can muster in him and as much as he can muster. And he stands and he preaches and he pours himself out. But he can't get an evening service going in this congregation. People just don't come. Well, his family wanted to have fellowship in the evening. And so they would go and they would be with another congregation. And he sat and he listened to what was being preached. And it wasn't the gospel. And and it wasn't scripture. And he looked at the crowd of the people there, and the crowd of children there, and he pictured his own congregation not even able to assemble in that evening. A crowd of people looking to have their ears tickled, acquiring for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. You see, as the word truly comes, it's going to hurt. It's a sword. It's a scalpel. And each of us, being totally depraved, we have work that needs done on us. But our hearts are going to run after the sweet-sounding voices. Our hearts will go to those places that are pleasant and joyful and happy. But we are being told and we are being warned here. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. What is the other side, though? The other side is the true gospel being brought to you. The truth that, yes, you are totally depraved. The truth that there is no good in you other than what has been given to you. But also the truth that Christ Jesus came and died for men and women like you and me. That there is a law and a standard, but it is beautiful and it is truth and it is life. It brings us into the presence of Christ Jesus as we walk in His steps. He warned us and He told us He did not come to the earth to bring peace, but a sword. So we take our position and we stand firm in the gospel. We stand firm in His armor. And we watch out for those who would deceive us with their pretty speech. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You that You give us full truth, that You love us and that You bless us and that You would watch over us as long as we stand by Your word. God, give us hearts to discern truth and to hold fast to You and Your testimony and be glorified in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm.